From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis from the Korean Peninsula. Hello, and welcome to Korean Context. I'm your host, Jenna Gibson. As any of you who have visited Korea probably know well, Seoul has one of the best transportation systems in the world. Not only is it reliable and clean, it is also constantly updated, which is part of why our two guests today decided to start a blog to follow transportation and urban planning news from across Korea. Their website, Kojex, gives tons of up-to-date information in English about the subway, bus, and taxi system in Korea, and also about urban planning, new green spaces, cool construction projects, and all kinds of interesting information for those who live in Korea. I'd like to welcome Andy Tibe and Nicola Metamoric, the Kojex co-authors, who are joining us by Skype from Seoul. Thanks, guys, for taking the time to sit down with me today.
Thank you.
Thanks for inviting us.
Can you start off by introducing us to Kojex? What is the goal of the site, and why did you decide to start it?
Yeah, sure. So Kojex originally actually started out as kind of like an informative blog of mine. I moved to Korea back in 2007, and when I came, it was quite an amazing experience just seeing all the different projects and stuff going on around Korea. You know, everywhere you look, there's a building going up or something going in. And so this kind of like, I guess, sparked my interest in all these different projects. And in particular, transportation really interested me because I come from a city which doesn't have really good public transportation. It's Auckland in New Zealand. And so when I came here and I just, you know, got on the subway and could basically go everywhere, it really amazed me. And so that kind of just motivated me to start like a website to put information up about all these different projects that were going on, and in particular transport projects, because I found out within the expat community, people didn't really know what was going on, especially with expats. They use public transport a lot, and so it could be quite beneficial to them, you know, say if there's a new line or something opening up, because I can read the information in Korean and then translate it back into English. Why not get this information into one place and let people know about these projects going on? So I kind of started that off in 2011, and then posted about different projects. And then from there, I met Nicola, who was actually doing something similar. He had a blog of his own, and we decided to team up, and we went from there. And so it turned out that there were a lot more people than we thought interested in transport and urban development in Korea. And so we've just kept at it since then. And so I guess our main goal is basically to inform people about different transport and urban development projects going on in Korea, what's coming up, how they can benefit from it. But it's also become more of a website as well, not just a blog, but also a website where you can find information about public transport within cities, public transport all over Korea. And that covers things, you know, from buses, subways, to cycling tracks and things like that.
Yeah, I know for myself, I lived in a medium-sized city in Cheonan. And yeah, and it was awesome how easy it was to get around, even though it wasn't necessarily a big city. I mean, here in the U.S., even big cities, it's really hard to get around. So
yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah.
So I totally understand the inspiration there. And, you know, you say, for example, on your site that the vast majority of rides in Seoul are done by public transportation or taxi, 37% by subway, 28% by bus, and 7% by taxi, which is really awesome, especially given that, as I said, in the U.S., it's not so easy. So how did Korea build such a convenient and comprehensive system?
Yeah, well, like you said, those are pretty big numbers. And compared to Auckland, where I'm from, that, you know, it's quite a difference. So Seoul itself had a tram system which began in 1899. And so that carried on for quite a few decades and was shut down in around 1968, with the economy rising and motor cars and buses making their way in. And so basically traffic got really bad, especially as more and more people moved to Seoul, because that just became the main place for jobs, and, you know, the country as a whole. And so it got clear pretty soon that it wasn't going to work without a decent public transport system. And so back in the 60s and 70s, they started talking about making a subway and things like that. And they eventually did the first stage of subways in the 70s and 80s, lines 1 to 4, and then they did a whole bunch more in the 90s and early 2000s. So they made like 8 lines, and then from there it just, I guess, snowballed, and they just kept making more and more public transport lines. I guess Seoul and also other cities around Korea, they've realized how vital public transport is for citizens, and I guess that's kind of how they built the system.
Okay, great. So this was really cool. When I was looking at your website, one of the most recent articles is about the first anniversary of Seoul's bike sharing program, which I didn't even know that Seoul had. So how is the infrastructure for bikers in Seoul? And is it very popular as a form of transportation there?
This bike sharing system exists since October 2015. And yes, just recently they had the first anniversary. And looked at the development so far. At first, they set up the system with around 2,000 bicycles, and now it's like doubled up to, now we have like 5,000 bicycles at 440 stations. The big goal is to have 20,000 bicycles by 2020, which is like really very ambitious, and we will see if they can achieve this goal. So far, in the first year, the bike sharing system achieved over 100,000 members and 3,500 rides per day. People accepted the system quite well. Also, even on my daily commute, when I walk the last few hundred meters to my office, I can see lots of people using this, the public bikes. But still, what's missing is the infrastructure. Seoul promised to build exclusive bicycle lanes, but so far I couldn't see them anywhere. Like what they've done so far is introducing bicycle priority lanes, which are just so-called, like in the transport jargon, they call it sharrows. It's like shared lane markings, like arrows with a bicycle sign that mark, you know, here are also cyclists or bicyclists, so please be careful and, you know, share the road with bicycles. But still, the effect is relatively low. It doesn't make cycling safer in the city. The allowed driving speed is like 60 kilometers per hour, which is quite high and dangerous in case of a crash for cyclists or even for pedestrians. So what's really needed is like separate, exclusive bicycle lanes throughout the whole city. For example, the Han River and other like streams and small rivers, they have nice infrastructure, but that's only for leisure cycling. Now, also the bike sharing systems is about commuting, it's about, you know, using this bicycle to go shopping, to go to university, school, or anywhere. So they have to connect these kind of places with each other. And yes, there's still sadly not enough efforts done there. And I hope to see more in the future. There are some plans to add kilometers of bicycle-only lanes or bicycle-only paths, but we are still far from it. So currently less than 2% of all trips are made on a bicycle. So the goal is like 10% or something, but it's still far away.
So it's interesting that you mentioned, you know, like the Han River and some of the streams, and they have nice walking paths and biking paths. And over the last few years, when I visited Seoul, there's a lot of new parks and green spaces kind of popping up around the city. Is this part of a larger plan in Seoul? And if so, how is it going so far?
Yes, it's part of a larger plan. And like, first of all, Seoul, they recognize, you know, there's a lack of public spaces and even like a lack of green spaces. In the 2030 Seoul plan, what you can see is, for example, there's the Gyeonggi line, the line connecting from Seoul, even like up to the North Korean border. They built a tunnel and put it like completely underground, so the former area that was above ground, they turned it into a new park, which is a really nice area. And then also what was part of this plan is to complete a walking trail around the city. It's actually like a walking or hiking trail, hundreds of kilometers, they can walk around the whole of Seoul, as well as walking trails around the city wall and smaller green space areas where you have better access to green spaces. then also like not part of this master plan, but some minor policies are, for example, like green rooftops. So there's a lack of space on the ground, but then on the buildings, we could propose to build green spaces and then, you know, catch the rainfall and the water. And then it would give people who work in these buildings or visit these buildings a place where they can just go up and then have some green space up on the rooftop.
So on that note, are there any cool or particularly creative projects that are coming up on the horizon that you guys have been keeping an eye on?
There's quite a lot, but I think the biggest one that's coming up, it's pretty much just around the corner, is next month. There's a brand new high-speed rail line going in to the south of Seoul. So it is actually officially in the Gangnam area. It's not the main Gangnam business area that you think of when you think of Gangnam, but it's still in the official Gangnam area at Suseol Station. So that's basically like the same as KTX trains that go 300 kilometers per hour. It's called the SRT, and so they'll be launching next month. And one really interesting thing about the project is it's got the longest rail tunnel, or the longest tunnel actually in Korea, 50.3 kilometers, I think. That project is going to help all the people living kind of in the southeast of Seoul and all those satellite cities around the area be able to use trains without having to make a big trek to Seoul Station or some other station. Also, people who do business in the Gangnam area, which there are a lot of, it's going to make life a lot easier for them. So that's one really exciting one. Another one, probably near the end of next year, will be the line which goes through to Pyeongchang for the preparation for the 2018 Winter Olympics. So that's a line which goes from Wonju, which is a city in Gangwon-do, all the way to Gangneung on the east coast. And so that'll go basically through Pyeongchang and then all the way to Gangneung, where there are also events being held for the Olympics. And so that will mean that essentially trains will be able to depart from Incheon Airport. You know, all these athletes or people coming to see the Olympics, they'll be able to get a train right from the airport directly to Pyeongchang, which is quite an amazing thing to get to Gangwon-do from the airport by train. Yeah, that's another really exciting one. And I think Nicola's also going to tell us about some other cool projects as well.
Yes, I'm looking forward, for example, to Seoul Station Overpass. Many people know about the Chongguchon project in 2004. The former mayor, President Lee Myo-bak, how he transformed our urban freeway. He made this really beautiful, amazing park, the Chongguchon Stream, in the heart of Seoul. But now, a new project is another overpass next to the Seoul main train station, transform it to a public elevated park. The idea comes a little from the High Line in New York, and it's expected to open in April 2017. Something more earlier, opening soon, hopefully, is the Lotte World Tower, which is 123 stories and 555 meters tall. It will then also become the highest building in Korea. It has like hotels, it has the observation desk, the highest in Korea, of course, and a lot of other facilities for tourists and visitors. And then also part of this project is the underground bus transfer center. It's almost, I think, almost complete, but then yes, it will also, I think, open together with the Lotte World Tower in Jamsil. One project that I'm following and maybe, but still like very far off, maybe like next 5 years we will see some changes, is the Green Transportation Promotion Zone. So the center of Seoul is going to be transformed to a green transport priority, or like it's called promotion zone, where cars will be limited, and then there will be more buses, more public bicycles, more walking facilities, or like better walking facilities. But that's like still, there are no details for this plan, but it's very interesting. And I hope that it also will improve the air quality, improve the general quality of walking or cycling inside the city center.
Okay, some very cool stuff coming up on the horizon for Seoul. Before we go, is there anything else that you guys would want to mention, or anything else you want our listeners to know about how great transportation is in Korea?
There was one thing I wanted to touch on, actually, and it's kind of like the explosion of light rail in the past, I guess. Oh, it must be around 6 years or so. since 2011, there's been about 7 or 8 light rail lines open up in Seoul. Previously, we've been used to seeing, you know, new subway lines or just standard rail lines opening up. But now most of these new lines that are opening up, they aren't your standard subway or train-type rail. They're light rail, and there's different types of light rail. There's trains on rubber wheels, there's trains on steel wheels. It's an interesting change, but the reason for that is because the costs for building light rail are generally less. Light rail doesn't have to be underground, but it can. Usually you'll see light rail above ground. It's mostly been popping up in cities other than Seoul. There actually is no light rail in Seoul at the moment. There will be one opening. The first light rail line will be opening in Seoul next year. But at the moment, the light rail lines are in places like there's two in Busan. You've got line 2 in Incheon, which has just opened up. Line 3 in Daegu is a monorail. And then, well, it's not actually officially light rail, but you've got the Incheon Airport U and Maglev as well, which uses magnets. It's really interesting to see all these different technologies being brought in for transport in Korea as well.
Also, just want to add something. I think what really makes Seoul, or like Korea's transportation, is really great system are the continuous improvements, so steady minor changes, minor improvements in terms of, for example, like night buses have been established some years ago. Service steadily improves, or steady new things are added, new lines are added, new technologies are introduced. Korea is very open to kind of new transport systems, new methods, and they're experimenting a lot. So that's, I think, what makes it to a really great system. Also, this was the reason why we actually have always something to write about. There's so many new projects going on, so many things happening. We always have some content that we can write about and keep our readers and everyone updated.
All right. Yeah. So we'll have to keep an eye out on Kojex and learn more about some of these cool projects that you guys are mentioning. I want to say thank you for joining us and taking your time. I know the time change is not always easy, so I really appreciate it.
No, thanks for having us. It's been great.
Yes, thanks for the interview.
That's all for this episode of Korean Context. I hope you enjoyed our conversation and will join us again next week with another great episode. If you're curious about Kojex, you can check them out online. The website is kojects.com. See you next week.